Book of Romans. I'm going to start reading from chapter 7 and verse 23, and then into chapter 8. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You notice the rest of that verse is removed in many translations, the newer translations, even Darby's, believe it's taken from verse 4 and just recopied in verse 1, so we'll skip that part. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. How'd you like to live in a war zone? How would you like to be in Ukraine right now? Actually, we need to keep the believers, brethren, prayerful for them, for so many are living in that situation right now. And yet many of us, in our spiritual lives, live in a world, in a war zone. Chapter 7, we started with that verse. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. In fact, making me a captive. Then when we get to chapter 8, it makes us free. If you notice, if you read chapter 7 and you read chapter 8 and you look at what are the prominent themes in those chapters, you'll find in chapter 7, it's all about I, me, and my. It's all about me. It's all about self-occupation. Because chapter 7, well, actually these verses, the early verses of chapter 8, cause us to go back to even chapter 5, where we're dealing with something more than just sins in our life. The first five chapters of Romans, he's dealing with the question of the sins that we commit. And he shows how we are guilty and without excuse, and we stand under the judgment of God. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He forgives our sins. But from chapter 5 and verse 12 on, he's dealing with something deeper. He's dealing with the question of our sinful nature. Now you realize, it's not enough just to face before God the things that we have done. Remember the publican and the Pharisee? The publican stands in the back, head bowed, says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He recognized where the problem lies. A lot of people in their lives, they don't recognize where the problem lies. The problem lies in the I, me, and the my. I'm the problem. I'm the one who causes it. No excuse. Can't accuse somebody else. It's me. And we bow our heads before God. And we just say, God, be merciful to me. We throw ourselves upon His mercy. And the Lord said, He goes down justified. That's where God deals with our sins. He forgives them. But there's something deeper. When we're born, we're not born neutral. The default position is a bent to sin. As much as people want to say, well, they're good at heart. They're not good at heart. We're not good at heart. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We can see it with our children. How long before you see the flesh rearing up in those innocent, cute little babies? I say about our firstborn, 6 weeks old, and we didn't jump when he said jump. And so he got angry. And the look, I mean, you could see the look of anger I want it now. Me. And I remember when he was 6 weeks, when he did that, I went, no. And he went, he stuck his lower lip out. He did not like the word no. But he knew the word my, me. And you know, we grow up that way with that sinful nature. We have a tendency to that sin because we got it from Adam and Eve. They passed it down through the genes. Our genes were tainted. And everybody born in Adam is born with that sinful nature. And Paul tells us in chapter 5, verse 12 on, and this is where we have to deal with the sinful nature, that everybody who's in Adam sinned in Adam and is under condemnation. We have to face it. It's not just the things we commit. We're born sinners. And we have to recognize that that is our condition as the race of mankind. But thankfully, there's two mankinds. There's Adam, who is the head, and all that are born of Adam. And there's Christ, and all who are in Christ. The one brings in that sinful nature. Before we were saved, we only had a sinful nature. There was no struggle. After we're saved, we have both a sinful nature and a new nature that is according to God. And now, suddenly, the struggle is still there because our sinful nature is not removed once we're saved. And we all know that. Even with believers, we can be nice at meeting, you know, but you're at home, you let your guard down, then we don't have to worry about what people think of us. You know, and you snap at your wife, or the other way. You allow these things in your life that should be dealt with. Now, the sinful nature, the Lord has dealt with that as well in the cross. In the cross, Christ died for our sins that we could be forgiven. But in also His death, when He died, we died. When He was risen, we're risen in newness of life. And this is all portrayed in our baptism. And sometimes it doesn't seem like we're dead. Did you ever notice that? How do you know that your sins are forgiven? Is it because you feel it? Do you always feel like your sins are forgiven? You know your sins are forgiven because the Lord said so. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say you confessed your sins, are they forgiven? Yes. Why? How do you know it? Because He said so. Because He's faithful. He doesn't lie. And He's just. Because when He hung upon that cross, we were identified with Him in His death, so that our whole nature was put to death at that time. Now the Lord tells us He's put to death at that time, but then He says, by the Spirit, put it to death. Wait a minute. I thought it was put to death. It says you have to put it to death. When Israel went through the wilderness, God showed them the promised land. They came up to the border. He said, this land is yours. I have given it to you. Now go and possess it. God has said, when you died, when you trust in Christ, you died with Him. Because your life is bound up with His life. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Benjamin and Judah and the famine in the land and how Jacob had lost Joseph, seemingly, and now he was hanging on to Benjamin for dear life. And Joseph manipulated things that he had to bring Benjamin down. And he wanted to test the brethren, to see if they really felt what the sin was that they had committed against him and his father. And Judah stepped up and was appealing to Joseph. He says, I can't go back without Benjamin, because the life of Benjamin is bound up in the life of Jacob. Because if he sees no Benjamin, he'll die. Well, that's what happens with us when we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Our life is bound up with His life. When He died, we died. That old nature died. Before we were saved, all we had was the old nature. We had to obey it. After we're saved, we still have the old nature, but we don't have to obey it. It doesn't have dominion over us. We can have victory. All the devil can do is to try to convince us that you can't. Did you ever say that? I can't overcome this. I have this repetitive habit or sinful habit, and I repeat it over, and I just can't overcome it. That's exactly what He wants you to say. Because you can overcome it, and we'll see why. But we're tied in with Christ's life. When He's risen, we're risen. We're told when He's seated in the heavens, we're seated there with Him. When He comes and returns and appears, we appear with Him, like Him, even in our bodies. But our bodies yet do not have that redemption. But the Spirit that's within us has that redemption. So that as much as if we live in chapter 7, we're going to be miserable because it's the war zone that's there. We feel captive, in bondage. But when we turn our eyes away from I, me, and my to the Lord Jesus, we, with victory, even though we cried, O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me? We thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you see, the world, they have a different answer to the misery of sin in people's lives. Their answer to the misery of sin is more I, me, and my. There's a fire. Oh, we got to put out that fire. Give me that gasoline. Oh, more fire. Well, let's get more gasoline. The answer to I, me, and my is not more I, me, and my. It's not more self and occupation with self. Because occupation with self leads to death. It will get you nowhere. You need to be done with self as you look to another who can and does deliver you from self. And that's the Lord Jesus. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim the light of His glory and grace. He gives deliverance. And when we get to chapter 8, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Nobody can condemn. Our sins have been taken care of. No condemnation there. And our sinful nature, if you go back and read Romans 5, when he talks about how what Adam passed on to us, he says the sin, the one through the one sin brought condemnation. A whole Adam race was condemned. We were by nature children of wrath. But the work of God, through sending his Son, totally dealt with that whole issue. He could have condemned us all righteously. But he provided a way for our sins forgiven and for victory over the sinful nature while here, and ultimate victory when we don't have the sinful nature anymore. It'll be gone when we won't be like Christ. And he tells us here, how does he do it? He says, the law in verse 2 of the Spirit in life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit is mentioned 20 times in chapter 8. Chapter 7, it's all I, me, and mine. The victory is that when Christ left, you know, God sent his Son. The Father sent the Son to be with us here and to work the work to deal with sin. When he left, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send my Spirit. So that we are, my life and yours are bound up together through the Spirit of Christ. And he can empower you to do what you can't do. And what the law can't do. That was a lot of the problem in chapter 7. Not only are we dead to sin, but we're dead to the law. In other places, we're dead to the world. The death of Christ makes great effect upon us. But they were trying to live the Christian life. Well, I'm saved by faith, not works, not the law. But then after I'm saved, I got to live by keeping the law. And you find that the law gives you no power against sin. It doesn't help you overcome problems. It just focuses you more upon yourself of what you can't do and what it can't do. And that's what he says in verse 2. Verse 3. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was good, but it gave no power to us to overcome it. But his Spirit is the Spirit of life. The law only brought death. When we trusted in Christ and he gave us his Spirit, he shares that life that Christ has right now. He's our head. We're members of his body. And the Spirit of God links us with him. And in John, he tells us the Spirit of God always lifts up our thoughts to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. Occupation with him, trusting in him, not in yourself, not in your abilities, but in his work and his present work, intercession for us, enables us to overcome sin, enables us to put to death the members of the body that lead us, that sin uses, and the law that leads us into sin. There was an old Sunday school song, but it has really good meaning to us. It was, be careful little eyes, what you see. Careful little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful little eyes, what you see. That's a great truth. Because he tells us, yes, we're dead with Christ. Yes, our life is bound up with his. And yes, now there is a struggle. And there is a fight within you sometimes. More than we would want. But you can have victory by the things that would lead you to sin. Your members of your body, to see certain things, to hear certain things, to take them, to walk to be there, to put the things to death that serve sin, and rather use them to the glory of God. We've got it. So we've gone through Deuteronomy talking about the law. We found that the law says, don't steal. Grace just doesn't say don't steal. It says, don't steal, but work with your hands what is good, that you might distribute to those that have need. To take what you would use in the service of sin and use it in the service of the Lord, because now we are His servants. And put to death. God does not forgive the sinful nature. He puts it to death. He doesn't coddle it. He doesn't use it for a display. Look what I've done. Puts it all to death and finds that our life is only in Christ, and through His Spirit we're linked together to follow Him. The law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. It's always operating. It's always pulling me down to earth. If I jump off a building, it won't be there. Especially when I land. But what about airplanes? Aren't they breaking the law of gravity? No, they're not. Because they found there's another law in the physical world. The law of aerodynamics. The law of the lift on the plane. And when that force is greater than the force pulling me down, I rise up and fly. Well, he's saying that's the same thing here. The law couldn't do it because it had no power or no might to give to us to be able to keep it. But God's Spirit is greater than the law of sin and death. Notice in this chapter, as you read it, law is used in a couple of different ways. Law is used in a sense of it's a tendency or a principle. Or there's others it's used as the law of Moses. But when we talk about the law of the Spirit, when He comes to indwell us, He provides the power. He's the electricity that we plug into, and suddenly it works. We're over there trying to run a machine, and it's not plugged into, and we say, it doesn't work. I can't do it. And you have to look over, and it's unplugged. We have to be plugged in. How are we plugged in? Well, for one, when we get saved, we have the Spirit. We have the power there. But we have to keep that holy connection with the Lord so that we don't grieve. We don't quench the Holy Spirit that is within us. That we spend time feeding upon the Lord Jesus, as we read in His Word. The manna from heaven, they had to gather it every day. They couldn't gather it once for the whole week. You wouldn't feed your baby all the milk on Sunday so they'd be okay for the rest of the week. Every day they want to be fed, and they let you know it. And we're told, as newborn babes, not that we remain as newborn babes, but we should desire the milk of the Word, just like a baby does. Because we have to grow. We have to keep that connection. We feed upon Christ. We learn more of Him. As we go in His Word, we allow it to be a mirror to us, to correct the wrong thinking. And Paul goes on to talk about the difference between our minds and our mindset with regards to the Holy Spirit in us, and with regards to the flesh. Don't try to keep correcting or reforming or educating the old nature. It can't be. It's at enmity with God. It thinks only of the things of the earth. But turn from that to the Lord Jesus. Look to Him through His Spirit, because the Holy Spirit within minds the things of the Spirit. What are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? What's your mindset, your outlook, your worldview? Is it conformed to the way the world thinks of things? The world keeps hammering at you certain things over and over and again. Before you know it, you repeat them. When you examine them by God's Word, you find it's totally contrary to what God's... Like I said, over and over, people are good at heart. So often all the philosophies of the world, the psychologies of the world, start from the fact that men are good at heart. And all we have to do is reform them or educate them. Yeah, they might have made a mistake here and there, but they got the wrong mindset from the start. It's the mind of the flesh, only occupying you with more flesh. But when you get saved, it makes you think differently. That's repentance, is thinking differently. Before, when you saw those things, those friends, you used to love them because they were in line with your sinful desires, with your idols. Now when we trusted Christ, we put aside those idols. We say, Lord, I'm here to serve the living God. I'm always impressed with the Thessalonians, who were young believers, and Paul writes to them. And he says, you know, when we spoke the word to you, and you heard the word of God, you did not receive it as the word of men. You didn't just say, well, that's your opinion. That's your interpretation. But you received it as it is in truth, the word of God. When you read the Bible, I hope every one of us has a time with the Lord every day where we feed upon Him. When you read it, do you stop and say, you know, this is God speaking to me. That's God speaking to me. And it says the effect it had upon the Thessalonians, just as young believers, you turn to the living God from idols. You turned away from all those idols you loved and served to the living God, because those idols were nothing but dead desires of man. To serve the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Amazing change. Didn't take them years and years to be that. It was the work of the Spirit of God in their lives. And God wants that work in us. And you won't find it in the law. You won't find it in yourself. You will find it only in Christ. Mm-hmm. And as we're occupied with His beauty, the beauty of His holiness, beauty of His love, we find that the whole Godhead is involved in our salvation. He says, what the law could not do is weak through the flesh. It was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, He told us earlier that everybody who's born in Adam have that sinful nature. It seems to be passed down on the male line, by the way. Because there's only one who was not born of Adam. One man who was not born of Adam. And he was sinless. And that was the Lord Jesus. You see the virgin birth there. Born through the Holy Spirit and Mary. And He was the only perfect one who could be the perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. So and He's the one who sends God. God sends His Son. He finishes the work, goes back to heaven. He sends the Spirit. And we are all linked together in His life daily. And His life flows through us. His power flows through us. And as much as we let the old nature rule, yes, it will rule. But you don't have to anymore. Before you were saved, you had no choice. After you're saved, you do have a choice. Daily, you have a choice. And we have to, if we're struggling, We have to look at God's word and say, Lord, cleanse me by your word. Show me as the mirror what you see. And help me to wash my face. Help me to wash my feet. And the amazing thing is, just as the Lord humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet, so he does with us. And so he wants us to do with one another, to stay humble, to serve one another, to stay lowly and wash each other's feet as well. Because we're all linked together in the same life. Realize that? All believers, we are all linked together in the same life. So if those believers in Ukraine suffer, if the home churches in China suffer, the Bible says we suffer too. Stub your toe and see whether it's only your toe that hurts. Right? It's not. You hurt. And that's true with all of us, because we're all linked the same life by the same Holy Spirit. And this chapter tells us that the flesh won't profit anything, can't please God, is at enmity with God. But he says, once you've believed, you are not in the flesh. Before we were saved, you were in the flesh. But now in our standing before God, we are not in the flesh, we are linked with him. And yet there may be a struggle. Yet we might feel like we're being defeated. But as we turn our eyes to the Lord, we find that our victory is in Jesus, that we do become overcomers. We don't have to keep lying to ourselves saying, I can't do it. Stop and take thought each day. What decisions am I making? Am I making decisions to ignore what God says? To ignore taking time with Him in my life, in prayer and in His Word? Or He says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw near to you. Do you feel distant from God? He didn't move. He didn't move. But draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to you. And the victory, in this rest of this chapter, is just a wonderful victory that is in us through the Spirit of Christ within us. And make sure of this, if you trust in Christ, you have His Spirit. Because He says, if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, He's none of His. You don't belong to Him if you don't have a Spirit. But the Spirit dwells within us and unfolds the glories of Christ to us. There are those that would say, well, when you got saved, you got saved, but you didn't have the Spirit. It was late. And that's why you didn't have power in your life to live for the Lord. You have to have another experience to receive the Spirit. Now, He tells us here, when you believe, you have the Spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. You're not saved. But when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell within us. And He's there daily. Yes, we can grieve Him. Yes, we can quench Him. Yes, we don't feel that He's near. But again, we have to examine ourselves, let God's Word examine ourselves. And you take the steps. When you take a step towards Him, He draws near to you. And you find, the closer you get to Him, the more power He enables you in your life to have a victory. We don't have to live in a war zone. We don't have to live in Romans 7. And Paul, one of the most glorious believers, he realized in his own life, in his own experience, and we'll see it too. But He can give us victory in the areas that we struggle, especially in habits. You know, bad habits, they didn't start overnight. Often they don't end right overnight. It continues as a struggle. You know, and we can't excuse them. Can't blame somebody else for them and excuse ourselves. It's not like Christ. But God, the Spirit of God produces in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is likeness to Christ. If you look at all the fruit of the Spirit, it's all what the Lord Jesus was. the works of the flesh. You want to see what the old nature is? Look at that. You want to see that if you're good at heart, look at what he says about the works of the flesh. Jesus said, what comes out of the heart is evil. The only answer to the old nature is death. Sins are forgiven, and both are by the work of Christ. But God condemned the sinful nature in the death of Christ. And he dealt with sin. Both our sins as the sin offering and the sinful nature in his death completely. And God gives us that victory because of that. And that's what really 5-8 is getting us. But so much better to live in the power of joy of chapter 8. He starts with no condemnation, ends with no separation. And in between we find the Spirit of God working in us, even in difficult situations, even in groanings and all these other things, that we are not left comfortless while we're here on this earth. Shall we close in prayer? Oh Lord, how often we've failed over and over and over. We've turned our back on you often. We thank you that you've given us your Spirit to show us yourself, Lord. Father, your love, the sacrifice of your Son, the blessing of having your Spirit and connecting us together in one body, and the ability to have the power to overcome that old nature that still hangs on. And we know that same Spirit that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead will also make alive our bodies, our dead bodies at the resurrection, and be like him. We thank you for this hope. In your name, amen.